Hello and welcome to Northeast Access Radio, coming to you on a frequency of 90.3, and also welcome to the Senior Citizens Programme. And in the scene on the line this morning, we have, well, it could be the afternoon now, of course, we have Anne Dempsey, and she's the Communication Manager with Third Age Ireland. And we're going to talk to her about services. Hello, Anne, can you hear me?
I can indeed, Duff. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine. Good. Loud and clear, right?
Good.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk to you about services. Now, services is like wallpaper. It can cover a multitude.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and what services now are on stream just at the moment?
Well, we're kind of, there's new needs emerging all the time, Austin, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. We would have talked in the past about our longest established service system. We'll talk a little bit about that maybe, called Senior Line. We did call it Senior Helpline, but we changed the name almost 2 years ago now to Senior Line. It's a national telephone confidential listening line for older people, and it's the only one in the country that is, the phone is answered by another older person, a trained older volunteer. And we changed the name because we did a little bit of a survey, and we found that some of our prospective callers said that they didn't want to think they were in need of help, or some of them said, you know, oh, my problem isn't that bad. It's just the word help, which we thought would be helpful, turned out to be a disincentive to phone us. So we're now Senior Line. And then our next longest established service is called Fortius Jock, and it's really, I suppose, a service that's very relevant to Ireland in the 21st century, in that we train migrants who come in not knowing the language, we train them in to speak English, and it's developed hugely since it started. And now Fortius Jock has classes in every single county in the country, and we offer every county, we offer over 72,000 hours of tuition to migrants during the academic year, and it's been a hugely successful program. And then we have two newer programs, Austin. The second last one I'll mention is, it's called Age Well, and it's quite close to Senior Line in some ways, in that we've trained people to befriend older people in their own homes, to visit them, and also to use a 20 question app to get a snapshot of the older person's health. And the old person is linked into the local health services, so that if there's any change in their health status, the local health service, the GP or the health centre, that they will be notified, so that action will be taken rather than letting something go on and develop.
Yes, and the change of name from the Senior Helpline. But soon people thought that they needed help immediately, something like that. And the idea to just change it to Senior Line seems to be a very, very worthwhile operation as such.
Yeah, it's kind of contradictory in some way, because you would think Senior Helpline, but it just as you say, it was how people heard the word help. We do help people practically. We don't get up and tile their roof or anything like that. We help people practically with information and referral and with listening to all their problems. So it is very practical in many ways. But just the name help, we found, it is putting people off, that they felt they had to have a big problem to phone us.
Yes, and with isolation and that type of thing, we know that can cause a huge amount of problems, and people might be they could be isolated in a city or a town, or not necessarily in an urban district, but even just the chat on the line, how are you doing? What did you do last night, or whatever? Did you watch this, or did you watch that?
You could be one of our callers, Austin, because I suppose we've two main categories of callers. One would be for people like that who phone for company and conversation, and they're not phoning with a specific problem as such, but we become very important to them, and we get to know them, and we do have a good sense of their lives. And as you say, they might be living in the middle of Dublin, or they might be in the most rural kind of Boreen in Connemara, and we have both. And it's a different... loneliness is just a feeling of feeling alone or being alone or feeling kind of forlorn or feeling down and feeling a bit helpless and hopeless. It can come upon you for all kinds of reasons in all kinds of locations, as we know, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the other caller would be people who phone us with specific problems they want to discuss with us. And that would be a different kind of a call. And our volunteers are trained to deal with that kind of call, you know, a very particular kind of model of call, as well as dealing with people who want company and conversation.
Yeah, now, if a person had a problem, it doesn't matter what sort of a problem it was, and whether it was a physical or imagined or whatever, you could, if you can't, you know, help the person directly, you can refer them on to somebody else or whatever department or whatever service that might be able to help them sort of more or less immediately.
Yeah, I mean, a big issue with people of all ages, really, is to kind of know what services might be available to them, and A, and then B, to know how to access it. And again, without kind of saying the kind of stuff we always say, but we know a lot of older people aren't very IT literate, and some of the modern ways of communication are very, very difficult for them. If they're meant to go online and all this kind of thing and press one for this and two for that, doesn't necessarily suit a lot of people as they move through from middle old age to old age. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole directory of services for callers, and all the it's an A to Z of services, and all the numbers we would give to callers, we've road tested them ourselves. We can recommend them with kind of genuineness to the caller, you know. So that is a big issue. And then, funnily enough, sometimes people might be phoning us for a number, and then when we get talking to them, you know, they might end up by taking the number, but they really want to chat about the situation that caused them to need the number. Because as you said, when you're on your own like that and you have a problem, problems can magnify when you're on your own. You know, you can feel very alone with the problem and very worried about it. So even to talk to someone about it tends to reframe the problem and helps you maybe look at it in a new light.
Yeah, isolation is, it can be very, very damaging health-wise in the long run. It's a sort of an insidious creeping malady of sorts, you know. This links more or less links into the same thing, you know.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. It's very similar. Now, it's been set up a little bit differently often. AgeWell is currently a project only in Leinster. I mean, it would have great scale-up potential. It's a lovely service. But the way AgeWell works is, I mean, with senior line, you know, people just get to know our number and they can phone from all over the country. AgeWell is set up more kind of, it needs a bit more structure, in that anybody that we visit under the AgeWell umbrella, that person has requested to be a part of the AgeWell program, and we might have been referred to by their GP, a local health centre, a social carer, a Garda liaison person. So they have requested to be part of the service, knowing what will be involved. And what's involved is, again, the trained older volunteers get to know the older person. And again, anything can come up. But because your face-to-face is different as well, you know, and you see the person and you see if they're not looking good that day or feeling well that day, and you're face-to-face with them, they might be annoyed about something or angry about something or upset about something. And again, you know, you can have the cup of tea and have the chat. And that's just as important as the health app, because the health app, as I say, it's a 20 questions that our volunteers ask the caller, and that's filled in every second week, and it gives a whole tracking of the callers, of the visitors' health, the client's health, so that the local health centre has that record. It's a great idea.
Yes, and you know, with infirmity, people not some of them are not as mobile as they were 10 years earlier or whatever. They're maybe not as IT literate, and I'm talking about myself here, with regard to the computer. And, you know, it can be a bit of a burden if they get lost in it, and it's hard to just give up. That's not for me type of thing.
You've nobody to turn to. I'm going to tell you about our fourth project now in a minute or so, because it really fits in with that. But just talking about people getting a bit immobile and not going out, we did an initial baseline assessment of our age well people, the people we visit, before we started the project. And we've recently done a kind of an update, and it's been very, very rewarding in that so many people report that they're feeling, you know, happier in themselves, more engaged with life, getting out more, that the whole visit from somebody every week has led to a lot of other good things. It hasn't just stopped there, valid as that is in itself, but it's led to further engagement. So it's really, you know, those kind of small little steps can lead to other bigger steps.
Yes, and of course now mobility with regard to all sorts of things, you know, is even getting down to the bus stop and checking on the time. And of course, if you have apps and all that type of thing, you can know exactly when the bus is going to appear.
Yes, that's all very helpful.
And I know quite a lot of senior citizens, maybe their sons or daughters or grandsons and granddaughters, put it on the phone for them, and they only have to tap the thing, and up come the number of the bus and what time it'll be.
No, it's great. It's a great service. And you were just talking about people not being so IT literate, and it's another form of loneliness, I think. And another of our new projects would be that this is a new. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for people to be trained in IT now. Older people, it can happen in libraries, and there's a lovely project with transition year pupils in schools are also working with older people. We have done a lot of work on it as to how older people learn best with computer. And one of the things we found is that they learn best in smaller groups, and where there's a kind of a whole social side as well, and at a pace they need. So we're going to begin shortly. We had a project. We were delegated by the Department of the Environment about 18 months ago. It's part of a program, Getting Citizens Online. And we were one of a number of organisations who were asked to kind of identify older people in our various areas. We began this in Leinster, and organised classes for these people in all over the place, and we've been doing that very successfully, and we've ideas to expand into a more social situation for particularly lonely people as well. So it's been proving very successful. And again, when we kind of do an assessment of it, also we discover that people, once they go online, people have bought their own smartphones, they've Skyping their grandchildren in Australia. It's led to all kinds of other links with the world and with community. So again, it started small, and it's leading out into kind of connecting people in other ways as well.
Yeah, well, of course, we know the future is going to be digital anyway, even with regard to money. As such, and quite a lot of senior citizens. Still like to be able to count out the old pound, shillings and pence.
Absolutely.
They know exactly where they're at.
That's
going to disappear in time, of course. And citizens are going to increase in time, you know.
I know. Yeah. Driverless cars, computers in our homes. I heard an amazing story from a grandfather. You know, the computer in the house is called Alexa. And he phoned his 4-year-old granddaughter and said, "Grandpa, I do want to talk to you. I want to talk to Alexa."
Alexa, talk to the computer.
You know, yeah. And my grandson, Austin, his birthday was last Monday. And for the past month, he was going up to Alexa in his home and saying, Alexa, how many days to my birthday? And Alexa would say, 22 days, 21 days, 20 days. So, I mean, it's
getting nearer the presents, was he?
Exactly. Yeah. So there we are.
Yeah, but they, I mean, this, you know, it goes so fast, you know, improvements just come with the same blink of an eye, and you have to
Change.
Now, the falter is stock. Now, you're teaching, now we know that 12% of the population in Ireland now at the moment are non-national. Now, some
That's
of them
right.
have been here for a while, and quite a lot
a
of
long,
them have
A long, long while, a long time, you know, you know, 15 years or more, even more perhaps,
And quite a lot of them being made citizens and honorary citizens, et cetera, et cetera. But we know that there seems to be a sort of a diversity issue arriving at the moment, as far as we can make out. And it's a sort of a us and them thing creeping in. Now, it's not the first time in Ireland this has happened. An us and them type thing, and, you know, which doesn't augur very well for the future. But now we know that they're trying to get non-nationals, we just call them non-nationals, to vote in the local elections, which are on the 24th of May next.
And even stand in the local elections, go forward as candidates.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's very few, actually, at the moment, looking at the figures. But that'll increase in time, you know.
And, I think you've said something very important there, Austin, because if we think of Fortis Talk and other kind of programs like it, I mean, ostensibly we're teaching or offering free classes in English language, but at a far deeper level we're offering, you know, integration, friendship, understanding, companionship. I mean, it's very rewarding for us in Third Age that any bit of publicity we would get for Third Age, almost certainly, and more so in the beginning when it was still very new, you'd get a call from, you know, a community down the country. You know, we heard of what you're doing. We have some migrants here from a group here, and we really don't know how to make contact with them, and will you come down and talk to us? And again, with goodwill, we would go down and we'd meet a group of people who wanted to be kind of very good citizens to their new neighbours. And we would set them up with the photo stock. Is very simple. There's a kind of a volunteer coordinator and then a number of people, mainly older people, are trained as tutors. And then the service is advertised locally. And again, you know, they frequently have an audience already there waiting, because there is a community that has come into them, and they are invited to come along for English classes. And when this happens, I mean, all the barriers, as you said, the them and us thing is broken down, and there's understanding, and there's in time integration. I mean, I think once we know people, it's the other. It's when we don't know people is when we can objectify them. But once we know them, we know that they're like us, you know? And so that's one of the real wins, I think, of Fortis Talk, is the understanding and cooperation and good neighbourliness that's built in.
And a lot of them come from very traumatic situations as such, and countries that are in all sorts of throes of this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just to say, hello, how are you? In itself.
Well, that's a start, isn't it? But with the Fortis Talk, you see, it's much more than that. It's when somebody's a tutor and somebody's a pupil, that you meet each other every week, you get to know each other. By virtue of learning the language, you know, the migrant is encouraged to speak about themselves, and they're very halting at the beginning. We've very, very good teaching materials that we use, but you get to know them and their background. The other thing is, sometimes if they're younger people and they've left maybe parents and grandparents at home, there's a kind of old and young together, so there's a whole feeling built in like that, which is very, very good.
Yeah.
And then the other piece is that, again, if the migrant is, you know, wants to find work, and there are job vacancies in the area, well, then again, we can help them with CV preparation. We can, once they have a bit of language proficiency, I mean, if you don't have a language, it's very, very difficult to settle in the country at all, even to help your children with their homework, to find work, to be an independent person, to make your own way, which is what everyone wants, you know? So there's a huge amount of advantage from that very early stage of teaching English and learning English.
Yeah, even to do the local shopping, if you're from another country. You may not be able to communicate, but we know that quite a lot of the shops now have communicators as such, you know. There's a crowd down in Raheny now with people that have, not dementia, as Dementia Day, you know, as such.
Yes, I do. It's lovely. I mean, Ireland is ageing and there are all kinds of new issues emerging from that. But there's lovely new services now happening, you know, in order to respond to that. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people are doing the best they can, really.
Yes. And, of course, the Irish population, like I say, 1 in 8 now is a non-national You wouldn't know what part of the world majority of them would be from there. But
well, I know our Fortress Jock tutors, nationally they've taught over 60 nationalities.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so
that just
speaks for itself. People come from all over, you know.
That speaks for itself, you know.
Yeah.
And that's 60 different languages, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably some dialects in the middle of all the languages as well.
Yeah.
And, No. It's a really worthwhile project. I mean, if you know, charities like Third Age are full of ideas. There's so much need. If we'd more funding, we'd be able to do even more, because there's no shortage of need and we've no shortage of ideas as how we might kind of respond to that need. And you see, I suppose we're very unusual in Third Age is that all our services are delivered by trained older volunteers. So that gives really, really good value for money, you know. And also, it's win-win because older people, as we agree, it's an ageing population. So the more older people are kind of encouraged to use their skills and receive the validation from doing that and continue to be engaged, the better for them and the better for the people they're helping. You know, so it's a lovely model of working, I think.
Yeah, now you brought up a very, very serious issue, funding.
Yeah.
And funding and any organisation to put the pin under the collar to keep going.
Very much so. And one of the issues with charities, as we know, there's been scandals in so many areas in the last, you know, while, and charities sadly have not been immune. And, you know, people like us, the good charities that were so transparent and comply with everything, you know, you can be all tied with the same brush, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know? So it's been a bit of a disincentive for the public in some way. So we need to just get our message out, you know, as well as we can, that this is the work we do, and you know, all the money is so well and usefully used. And as I said, the fact that we have volunteers to deliver our programs means that it's very cost efficient services run by Third Age.
Yeah, of course, the whole country collapsed if you hadn't got volunteers. Collapse
overnight. Say that again,
Austin. I say the whole country collapsed only we've got volunteers.
Absolutely, grind to a halt. I couldn't agree with you more. And as far as older people are concerned, I think older people, they more than pull their weight with regard as a section of the community who volunteer, you know.
Yes, and of course the population is getting older by the minute, and longevity is one of the things now that within the last 30, 40 years it seems to have spiked. I was reading there was something like 120 people over 100 years or something in the country. That would be unheard of 30 or 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
And that brings a lot of other problems too, but you're trying to solve problems as such. Now, in the future, where do you see yourselves, your organisation going from here? Will it be expanding, are you going to just expand the services you've got, or are you going to try and generate new ones?
Well, I suppose, as I said, there's such a need in an ageing population for the work we do. And the kind of the space that Third Age inhabits is that we work with people who are already engaged in life. Mm-hmm. And we work with them and train them as volunteers to enhance their own health and well-being, and again, to offer socially useful services to their more vulnerable peers. And I mean, there's no shortage of looking around people who are vulnerable. People can be vulnerable, as we've agreed, through loneliness, through disability, through Alzheimer's, through family conflict, through, we could just go on and on. So what we would love to do is, again, constantly have a look at changing needs. I mean, Fortis stock is an example of a changing need in Ireland. We wouldn't have had a need for Fortis stock, 30 years ago. And now, Ireland in the 21st century, we're a multi-ethnic society, which is great, you know. And so I think we need to be constantly aware of the need for new emerging services as needs change. I mean, I think another one, and I've mentioned a little bit, is as Ireland, and you said it yourself, becomes more digital, becomes more linked with, running communication being managed from an IT point of view, the more we need to try and find ways of helping older people to not to be divided digitally from the rest of the country because of their age. And also we need, on the other side, we need government and stakeholders and decision makers to realise that we're not all, the same in terms of our competence in that area. So there's constant kind of communication and changing needs that we need to be aware of and need to respond to, I think.
Well, Anne, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on a short notice.
Thank you, Austin, very much.
And we're always here. This is what the Senior Citizens Programme is about, is to facilitate any group or individual with regard to their senior citizens or benefits or whatever with regard to senior citizens. And if you have anything coming up, just give us a buzz.
I'd love to. And can I end by giving you our senior line number?
Yes,
indeed.
That's
a free phone now. We used to be local and now we're free phone, which is even better because people don't have to worry at all. So we're free phone 1800 80 45 91. And we're open every single day of the year from 10 in the morning till 10 at night.
That's 800 80 49.
No, 1800.
Yes.
80.
Yes.
45.
Yes.
91.
91, and we'll pump that out every now and then.
Thank you, Austin. Love that.
Yes, and thanks very much, Anne. And we'll
thank
be back
you,
on
Austin.
You.
Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.